at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, everybody. Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Home Improvement Show. Like you said, I'm your host, Rich Orris. And, you know, you can reach me today with anything that you have going on around your home. Just give me a shout, like you said, 314-436-7900. I got a lot of different things, you know, that we can kind of talk about, that we can cover today. A lot on tap. I was thinking about, you know, generally, I think about things that happen, you know, that I talk about in my day job with Mosby Building Arts, you know, all week, the past couple weeks. So I've had some, you know, interesting appointments and questions that come up about, like, lowering your basement floor, finding out if there's moisture, you know, underneath your basement floor. You know, March is coming. It's close. It's here. So maybe we can go over some of the things that we need to be thinking about, you know, doing around our house next month. So good list of different things on tap. But again, you know, my main goal is always to help you, help the homeowner, the consumer, everybody out there, the do-it-yourselfer, everyone doing everything. I'm here today to talk about your home, your concerns, your maintenance, maybe projects you're building or working on. We can cover any needs that you have today. Again, feel free to give me a call. Join in the conversation, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And so, you know, my day job, what I do basically all day, every day, you know, going around kind of like this, trying to just help people out with their projects, with their homes, with their questions. You know, how did they get through things? So I get a lot of, you know, as I go out and meet people, see things, run around for Mosby, being a senior sales consultant, I meet a lot of interesting people and have some really great, interesting conversations about different projects, things that go on around their house and, you know, all of that. And of course, the years and years of kind of not just doing that, but running jobs, project managing jobs prior to that, building jobs prior to that, doing, you know, hands-on, getting things done. I mean, think of me as kind of like that. I'm that person that's probably done it wrong at least one time in pretty much every category. Learn from your mistakes, understand, go through the things, then, you know, get to some of the really good things. So being, you know, seeing so much over time just kind of really opens your mind and your eyes to, you know, a lot of different things that happen and go on. And, you know, it was interesting. Friday morning, I was having a conversation with one of our other consultants at Mosby there, a newer consultant. He actually came up to St. Louis from Texas, and we were talking about, you know, just houses in St. Louis, like the things that he's seen. And, you know, he's done a lot of exterior stuff, windows, doors, you know, all sorts of stuff like that, you know, down in Texas, and now he's here. And, you know, everywhere you go, like, it never ceases to amaze me. Like, we, you know, we go down to like Destin, Florida for a vacation, and I look at a site where they're building a home, and they've literally digged, you know, they dig down into this sand in Florida. Like, I didn't measure it. It might have been 20 inches, and that's where their footings are going in. They're almost like to the surface, you know. So everything's different everywhere you go in these different scenarios and how things happen. So I'm talking, you know, about the houses here, and our other new consultant, Nick, is like really surprised. And he's just like, I just see so many issues. Like, we just, the way we built in Texas, the things we did, you know, there was always like, you know, hurricanes and different things. And when that's not happening, it's definitely a drier place. And he's like, it's so moist here and it's wet all the time. And, you know, the rains blow sideways and things, you know, around here. And we don't necessarily everyone build up to snuff, or at least we haven't in the past for sure, you know. And we were kind of talking about those, the homes in the, you know, 80s, late 80s through the 90s, you know, and into like 2000s up to, you know, 2010, something like that, of just how these homes, you know, they were changing doors and were changing windows and were finding, you know, rotted sill plates and rotted wood and water constantly getting in and leaks all the time. And he's like, I'm just not used to dealing with that. Like, he's learning like our system and what we need to do. And the more he sees, the more he's going to learn and find out. But so basically we were just kind of discussing there, like, you know, well, what came about? Cause you know, I was here and I was like, I was literally building things in the 90s. So I was kind of able to explain, you know, a lot of what kind of transpired in building, you know, homes, room additions, things like that, when we first started, you know, using the house wraps, we first started looking at, you know, protections of the outside, you know, of that house and that wall system. And basically, you know, everybody's education on it at the time, including my own, was, well, this is for air infiltration. And, you know, you basically, yeah, let's install it like this. So like when we did, you know, a window, we would cut an X through the house wrap and we would fold everything inside to the window, you know, in the framing, cut the paper off, staple it to the side. And then we install this window with this nailing fin that basically, if any water comes down that house wrap, it goes right behind that nailing fin and just whoosh, it basically follows that path. Or if it gets behind the wrap, boom, again, it follows that path straight down into that system. And so what happened was, you know, we started seeing issues and leaks and things happening with the buildings and the things that we're building, like, quicker right away. You know, the rain got behind the siding, it got inside that window so fast, they're starting to see it where it's actually a 1 year inside the 1 year warranty issue. And so, you know, the company I work for and a lot of builders and stuff that I'd seen, they just basically stopped using it and said, boy, that stuff's bad, that stuff doesn't work. And you know, looking at the difference in what we do to install flash tape, do all that, now we can, you know, use that system and get in there and we can, you know, do everything and give you a 10-year workmanship warranty on it that's going to include that it's not going to leak, you know. So it's quite amazing here. So, but hey, we've got our first call here. We've got Jeannie on the line. Let's jump there real quick and see what's happening. Are you there?
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question about air duct cleaning. We did some construction down in the basement and made quite a mess. And I don't know, should I, is it a good idea? Should you do that as part of your regular maintenance on a home, or just need some feedback, please? And then also, I did call a few places. I'm getting quite a variation on pricing. And I don't know if spending more actually gets me more, those kind of things. So I am going to hang up because I'm driving. If maybe you could just share some thoughts on it.
Yes, that's perfect. I appreciate the call and the great question from Eugenia. You're welcome. And yes, there is definitely, you know, I would definitely look at after construction like that, it is a good idea to clean the ductwork. You do have, you know, if you've done more, you've done drywall and sanding and different things like that, you know, here at Mosby, we do a lot to protect from the dust as much as we can, like putting, you know, air filters over cold air returns as we're working and things like that. But it is literally impossible to contain 100% of dust. You know, we could even use air filters that'll shove the air outside and filter it and get the bad air outside and not recirculate the dust inside the house, but you still get that dust buildup. And so I would definitely say if you haven't done ductwork cleaning in quite a while and you have done an extensive, you know, remodeling type building project like that, now would be a perfect time to get your air ducts cleaned. And as far as like regular maintenance, how often is that's very, very hard to say because it really depends on so many different things of like the type of flooring you have, how many people live in your home. I look at how often to clean it more like I look at how often should you change your furnace filter. Well, you should change it when it's dirty. So you should look at it more often and change it when you need to. So there isn't really like a change it every 3 months. That doesn't necessarily work for every single household. You know, because it could get dirtier than that in less than 3 months if something's happened. So kind of looking inside that ductwork and just seeing how dusty, how bad it looks, that sort of thing is a great thing to do. So you can just glance inside that ductwork every year and maybe you get your ductworks cleaned every 5 years or every 7 or every 4, you know, something like that. So a regular maintenance is good to keep it clean. Definitely good to clean it, you know, right after doing a project like this. But I would also say, as far as how much it cost, I would, you know, just basically go through the interview process and talk to people about how they do it, what they're doing, that sort of thing, you know, what makes them better, and just get a good feel, you know, because there's a get you get what you pay for type of thing. But in here, it's really about how well they perform it. So you get what you pay for is more how good they're performing that task, not necessarily like a better product, a thicker product, something that'll last longer. So you got to rely a lot more on the company. So I would go with who you feel comfortable with and who you've talked to, you know, that sort of thing. So your prices are always going to vary. You don't necessarily have to do the most expensive just because you think you get what you pay for. But I would go more into questions on their theory and their experience and how well they do and, you know, things like that. And maybe even checking references, you know, stuff like that to figure out which one would be the best for your needs. So definitely a good thing to do for everybody else out there. We're going to get into our first break. You can find me right here. Join the conversation. Get your questions out. 314-436-7900. We're going to take a break right now. We'll have more to come when we come back. All right, guys, we are back. And, you know, got a lot going on today. We do have some Cardinals baseball coming up at the top of the hour. So get in now. Get in on the conversation. Get your questions out there. Let's see if we can help you figure out how we can help you with your house. Again, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And if Greg's still out there, with the call dropped or whatever, so Greg, feel free to give us a call back. We had a great, you know, question from Jeannie about the ductwork cleaning. And, you know, I think I've talked about this a few weeks ago, but, you know, I had a thing with my son's townhouse with his ductwork cleaning because moving him in, we were doing some work on his place and, you know, fixing some things up. And boy, I looked inside that ductwork and I mean, it was like, it was dirty. It was like the pictures that they show for ductwork cleaning companies where they're like, look at this inch of crazy stuff and we could get it out. And not all ductwork looks like that, you know, on the inside, but his did. And boy, did we have a hard time because of the circumstances getting somebody in there to actually perform the work because it's in a closet and because, you know, there wasn't space to get around the unit real well. And, you know, these companies wouldn't even show up to look at it once they heard the circumstance. So I ended up going with Wellington Environmental. I called Tom there and said, hey, look, this is what I got going on. And I know it's hard to get to, but, you know, he kind of agreed to me like, wow, if we could clean 80% of this, you know, 80% clean is better than 100% dirty. So you know, Wellington is, they do that stuff. They do really well. They do a lot of other things with the mold and the remediation. So they're probably not going to be the least expensive people out there, but I'm telling you, they're going to do great things for you if you use them for a task like that. And there's a lot of other things they could do to help you out and all of that. So let's get to our phones here. We've got Adrian, I think, on the line. Are you there? Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. Yes, it's Adriana. Not a big deal. A question I have. I have a 125-year-old house, and as you know, those homes do not retain heat or coolness, so as soon as heat goes on, it goes off, it goes on, same as air conditioning. Okay, my question is, does it sound feasible to insulate the biggest room, which is what I want to do and where most activity is, by building like you're just starting a brand new home? Uh-huh. Like, I have like a 13-inch plaster wall in this house. So does it make sense to put up 2x4 studs, the whole bit, like you're building a house, and heavily insulate that and then put up drywall? Does that sound insane? Would that give more insulation to the house, or is that just nuts?
So actually, that is pretty much exactly what I would recommend if you're trying to do that. And there's a little more to it that I would recommend, because the 13-inch plaster wall that you're talking of, you know, starts with brick, and it's got like clay block and stuff in it, and then it's got the plaster and everything right on it.
Exactly.
So the whole temperature issue with the house is that the only thing that conducts temperature better than like a masonry or a concrete product like that is aluminum.
Yes.
So when that wall gets cold, it stays cold. It will keep the cold in the house. You know, when it gets hot, it stays
correct.
Hot. So letting that wall be able to breathe some is a great idea. So if you were to build a 2x4 wall in front of that plaster wall, and you left that 2x4 wall about a half inch off of the plaster, the back of the wall, away from it.
A half inch?
A half inch is plenty. You know, an inch would be fine. I wouldn't do more than an inch, because you're already, you know, you're losing 4.5 inches of room space on each side of the room. You know,
it's a huge room, and like 18-foot ceilings almost.
Okay, so that's good. So, but then what you want to do is basically leave like a 1-inch space at the bottom and a 1-inch space at the top. So you don't want your drywall to hit the floor, and you don't want your drywall to hit the ceiling. And you can put like crown molding around the top of the room where it doesn't touch the ceiling, so you won't see the gap. You can do like work with your base trim to kind of, you know, maybe set that up where you won't, you know, necessarily see the gap, but you're letting air in and out, so that air can kind of circulate up and down and around behind that wall. And so, because when you've got moisture in that wall, that moisture needs to try and leave. So that's where we get all the efflorescence on the outside and all the stuff. So it's definitely, you know, if you could do that, you would have a very, very good insulated, you know, system that can breathe and work really well, too.
Now, what are you talking about, aluminum?
Oh, I was just talking about
aluminum.
Yeah, I just basically was explaining that, you know, concrete, brick, masonry, it holds so much temperature, like temperature transfers through it so easily. The only thing that holds, you know, lets temperature transfer better than concrete or masonry is aluminum. And that's why aluminum beer cans, aluminum soda cans, aluminum, you know, they stay cold. They get cold very easily. They do, you know, that's the whole purpose of it. That's why aluminum windows in a house went away. Talk about something transferring, you know, cold or hot temperature through inside your home and everything. It's a big deal. Yep.
Okay. So the insulation what is the recommendation on the thickness of the insulation? Just like the extending out as far as the studs. Right?
Yeah, it'd be the same thickness. Yeah, same thickness.
But
of
what is the
your 2x4 wall? So it's like an R13, you know, 3.5 inch thick insulation.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you. I won't occupy your time, but I thought maybe I was insane to be doing this. So it doesn't sound like I am.
Nope. I think you're very, very good. I think you've got
all
it.
Right.
You've got a great plan now.
Good
luck with
well,
that.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
All right. Let's jump over to John. And John in St. Charles has something going on. Can you hear me, John? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey,
thanks
great.
For taking my call.
Thank you for calling in. What do you got going?
Well, I had a question. You know, when houses were built right around 2000, 2001, and you put in like an intercom system, you know, and a home sound system, that was the state-of-the-art electronics at that point in time. Things have changed. 20-something years have taken place. Things get a little outdated, but the wiring and the speakers and all that type of stuff is still there, the doorbells and all.
Mm-hmm.
I know you all do remodeling and that type of stuff. Do you work with anybody that would know about taking that existing wiring and speakers and then putting a more up-to-date system in?
I would say definitely there's a couple different places that I've worked with that do a lot of low volt, you know, type work like that, where it's, you know, AV kind of low volt TV, different stuff like that. So basically Strybe Company it's actually an electrical company. They do electrical work, all that stuff. And they also have an AV, you know, audio visual division that they do stuff like that too, with home systems and whole house stuff and TVs and all that stuff. So Strybe Co. is definitely a really good company for doing stuff like that. And then, of course, I've done a lot of work over the years with the Sound Room, and, you know, the Sound Room is definitely very good, you know, at that sort of stuff, too. They can make great recommendations and everything also. So to give you a couple different places that both do great work.
Okay.
So what are you looking to put in?
Well,
do you like the intercom? Just want something updated? Or?
Well, when we put it in, it was nice to have the intercom.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to be able to play the radio AM or FM or put on like the baseball game and listen to the Cardinals, to the Blues throughout the house.
Yeah.
And it also had a CD player so you could put in, you know, Christmas music or whatever music you want to listen to the whole house.
Yeah.
But, you know, they stopped making that equipment. Things get old. You start having little problems, you know, and stuff like that. And it was just kind of one of those things. We wanted to see about how we could upgrade it.
Yeah.
Maybe be able to hook up the phone or an MP3 player or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, they'll have a lot of suggestions and a lot of products. Sonos makes some really good stuff that, you know, they could use some of the system for like speakers throughout the house. And then basically they put like the Sonos system, like with your television or something like that, hooks up wirelessly, you know, to your phone and all that stuff. And yeah, you can play the music from your home. You can get speakers outside.
Sure.
You could do all kinds of stuff. So,
so
it's endless, you know, today.
Just trying to update it, you know, and get something that's more modern, but utilize the stuff that, because, you know, you already got the wire run through your house to the various rooms and to the doors and that type of stuff. Trying to retrofit something else in be kind of hard. So, you know, that's what I was trying to give you a call. And how do you spell that Strybe? Is it Stribe?
You know what? That is one thing I always forget. It's either, I don't remember if the I's, if it's IE or EI, but yeah, it's basically STREIB or IE. I think it's EIB, but
and it's an electrical company.
And I've literally been doing work with them for like 20 years. I should literally know how to spell their company by now.
That's
but
okay.
Yeah, I always seem to forget that. But yeah, look them up if you see something like, you know, you search for them, you get to a website, and their big motto is join the tribe, go with Stribe. That's them.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good. Thank
All
you.
Right. You're welcome. Appreciate it, John. And hey, for everybody else out there, we got another segment coming here with plenty of time for everybody. So again, hey, get in on the conversation. Get your question in. Give me a call, 314-436-7900. Let's take a break, and then we'll be back with plenty more right after this. All right, everybody, we are back. Rich Orris here, host of your Home Improvement Show. And, you know, we've got Cardinal baseball coming up after the segment. If you want to stick around with me, if you have some questions in the next hour after this segment, you can follow me over to 97.1 FM. If you're here for the Cardinals baseball, just stay right where you're at, and you're going to have a great time with that for sure. And for everybody between now and then, phone lines are wide open. Feel free to give me a call. Anything you got going on, 314-436-7900. And, you know, but we've had some great questions so far this morning. And, you know, the last one, John, talking about the intercom system and the stuff, I had the exact same thing. My house was built in 2003. I had the exact same system in there and everything. And we finally took the main system and everything out a couple years ago, redid some of the kitchen stuff and eliminated that. But, you know, like I was talking about with John, the options today of automating your home with systems, whether wired, whether not, there's a lot of them just kind of wireless, you know, where a lot of this stuff I was talking about with the Sonos speakers and things like that can be, you know, wireless, where you can run something inside of a room and you put these in different places, and then you can put your speakers and stuff like that. So you might not even, you know, he might even hear options where you don't even have to reuse any of that wiring, even though it's there. You know, it might end up not even being the best option that works for the needs that you have and things like that. But the different home automation today, and, you know, having all the different stuff around the house and the smart outlets and light bulbs and, you know, all the different things. I see so many people that have some of the coolest stuff like that set up where, you know, we're walking downstairs to, you know, go look at the basement for some remodeling or work in the basement. And as we're halfway down the stairs, the homeowner just says, "Hey, Alexa, turn on the basement lights," and all the basement lights come on. And I'm like, man, that stuff is just, that's so cool to be able to do stuff like that. So there's a ton of options and a ton of options coming out, you know, with like appliances and different things like that, you know, monitoring, like, how well your refrigerator's running, the compressor, the things like that, where, you know, in the future, as these things progress and get better, we're going to end up seeing stuff that basically your refrigerator's going to be like, you know, hey, your refrigerator's running at like 70% capacity. There's something going wrong. Call the repairman, you know, and just basically let you know beforehand that something's not 100%, not working right. You know, and so there's just so many different things, you know, coming up and getting figured out with all the home automation and everything. It's really cool and works really well. And so there's a lot of wireless options out there, you know, for John and everything. But again, hey, if you want to jump in, we've got some time. Any question you have, 314-436-7900. I'm right here for you. And so let's talk about, you know, the basement floor thing, because, you know, I was at someone's house just a few days ago, and we were talking about, you know, doing some work in their basement and how do we get that produced and, you know, what can they do? And they were really hoping to, you know, lower an area of the basement floor just to make that area more comfortable, you know, four people when they're inside that little kind of area of the basement. And, you know, so I'm kind of trying to explain, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with some retaining walls and how you step them back and how much space you need. And when you have a footing, you know, you got to think about coming off the bottom of that footing that's holding something off up at a 45 degree angle. So you can't necessarily dig right next to your supports, your footings, things like that. Or if you do, then you have to like engineer something that's going to hold that footing, going to make sure. So when you're pouring a concrete curb to kind of raise up to where the existing floor level is, if you're right next to a footing, it might need to be really thick. It might need to have some rebar and stuff in it that goes down into the other portion of the floor. You know, it would definitely need to be engineered in a way to show that, you know, it's going to not let that existing footing fail. And of course, in this area where we were looking, you know, it was right next to the basement stairs. So there was a couple of posts and footings going down into the basement floor next to the stairs. And then in the center of the basement, you had your post and your footings from the actual center, you know, beam of the house right there. So there was actually only, you know, about probably 9 feet between these posts. And, you know, as your footings come in that are supporting that, you know, those are going to come in a couple, you know, maybe 1 to 2 feet, you know, wide. So now you're looking at footing to footing, maybe 7 feet wide. And I'm like, if I'm trying to stay away from that footing, there might really only be a 4 or 5 foot wide kind of like hallway area that we're literally lowering in this floor, you know, or you're changing the center beam of the house and you're eliminating, you know, one of those footings, the need for it in order to do it and getting a bigger beam or something like that. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to engineer, design, look, and figure out how to do something like that. But, you know, getting to some of those answers as soon as possible to understand, you know, will I ever go there is something we're definitely trying to do right up front. You know, always talking about the investments and the different things so that we're not, you know, just designing a bunch of stuff that doesn't get built. You know, you're just designing away all these projects and going, yep, that would be awesome. And then you go to figure out how much it costs and you're like, wow, I was never actually willing to pay that. So, you know, learning this stuff in stepped processes, paying a little less for these steps each step of the way to get where you need to go, you know, can really determine some really, really great answers, you know. So kind of the same as that, you know, ductwork question with, you know, some are more expensive, some are less expensive, I don't really know who to go with. We'll really think about the interview process, open-ended questions, finding out what they know and understand, and just really, you know, how do you help me get through this? What are you doing the whole way? Can you show me some photos? Can you do, you know, and really just getting, you know, comfort. You don't have to understand how to build a house to pick someone that you feel good about, that you can kind of tell, you know, you got that feeling in your gut that, yeah, they really sound like they've done this. They've talked about some of these details. They've talked about how things get done. They've brought other people. They look at it as a team, not just one person, you know, that sort of thing just creates, you know, better things for you in how to get through it and everything. And, you know, so same day as I'm looking at that basement floor, you know, unfortunately I go to another house in St. Charles and, you know, they have a ceiling that's sagging in their kitchen. Well, there's actually a giant beam and they had a wall removed in their kitchen, and it was a short little 2 foot wall just kind of underneath the soffit. And the people just looked at it, told them, ah, that's not weight bearing. Well, it was literally weight bearing, and the two beams that came together sat on top of that wall. So now the two beams are sinking down, separating. And there's a second floor above this thing is holding up. I mean, talk about weight bearing. And unfortunately, I'm like, Yeah, they should have never taken that wall out, and now the kitchen's over in that space, so we got to kind of look at and do some engineering to figure out, you know, I think the only thing that's going to be able to hold this up is a giant steel I-beam, you know, to go the distance. So basically I had, you know, it had two headers that sat on top of a wall separately. Each one's about a little bit more than 9 foot. Well, now I'm trying to span an 18-foot plus opening all the way across with one beam. We're probably going to need, you know, a steel I-beam. So imagine this new kitchen, tile floor, all these things going on. I got to put in temporary walls on top of this tile floor to hold up the second floor while all this stuff gets ripped out. We're looking at it thinking, okay, well, so this I-beam, yeah, we'll probably have to like put some stuff on top of, you know, the countertops and protect that stuff and get that I-beam into position first, even build like a couple of short walls to set this I-beam on the other side so that we can have it in position, because I don't know how else we're going to get it in there. And this I-beam's going to weigh like over 600 pounds. So it's not light. So do you want to, you know, looking at these projects very thoroughly up front and finding out better things from a team, do you want to find out after you remodel your kitchen that you need this, or do you want to find out before you remodel your kitchen that you need this? And then maybe you decide to keep the wall, or maybe, you know, it gives you the opportunity to say, no, let's put the beam in. I love that. Let's go ahead and do that. That's the way I want my house. Or, wow, that's just out of my league. Let's just leave the wall and find a way to make this kitchen work better for me, you know, like it is, and we'll make it new again. And, you know, I'm just hoping that we can get through all this without like cracking tile floor and all these other things going on. But hey, we're going to get into our break here. We got Cardinals baseball coming up. We will be coming into the next hour at 12 o'clock in 97.1 FM. So if you want to join me, come over there. We'll take your calls. Same number, 314-436-7900. So for KMOX, have fun with your baseball, and I'll talk to everybody after the break on 97.1. All right, everybody, we are back. Rich Orris here, host of your Home Improvement Show. And, you know, we've got Cardinal baseball coming up after the segment. If you want to stick around with me, if you have some questions in the next hour after this segment, you can follow me over to 97.1 FM. If you're here for the Cardinals baseball, just stay right where you're at, and you're going to have a great time with that for sure. And for everybody between now and then, phone lines are wide open. Feel free to give me a call. Anything you got going on, 314-436-7900. And, you know, but we've had some great questions so far this morning. And, you know, the last one, John, talking about the intercom system and the stuff, I had the exact same thing. My house was built in 2003. I had the exact same system in there and everything. And we finally took the main system and everything out a couple years ago, redid some of the kitchen stuff and eliminated that. But, you know, like I was talking about with John, the options today of automating your home with systems, whether wired, whether not, there's a lot of them just kind of wireless, you know, where a lot of this stuff I was talking about with the Sonos speakers and things like that can be, you know, wireless, where you can run something inside of a room and you put these in different places and then you can put your speakers and stuff like that. So you might not even, you know, he might even hear options where you don't even have to reuse any of that wiring, even though it's there. You know, it might end up not even being the best option that works for the needs that you have and things like that. But the different home automation today and, you know, having all the different stuff around the house and the smart outlets and light bulbs and, you know, all the different things. I see so many people that have some of the coolest stuff like that set up where, you know, we're walking downstairs to, you know, go look at the basement for some remodeling or work in the basement, and as we're halfway down the stairs, the homeowner just says, "Hey, Alexa, turn on the basement lights," and all the basement lights come on. And I'm like, man, that stuff is just, that's so cool to be able to do stuff like that. So there's a ton of options, and a ton of options coming out, you know, with like appliances and different things like that, you know, monitoring like how well your refrigerator's running, the compressor, the things like that, where, you know, in the future, as these things progress and get better, we're going to end up seeing stuff that basically your refrigerator is going to be like, you know, hey, your refrigerator's running at like 70% capacity. There's something going wrong. Call the repairman, you know, and just basically let you know beforehand that something's not 100%, not working right. You know, and so there's just so many different things, you know, coming up and getting figured out with all the home automation and everything. It's really cool and works really well. And so there's a lot of wireless options out there, you know, for John and everything. But again, hey, if you want to jump in, we've got some time. Any question you have, 314-436-7900. I'm right here for you. And so let's talk about, you know, the basement floor thing, because, you know, I was at someone's house just a few days ago, and we were talking about, you know, doing some work in their basement and how do we get that produced and, you know, what can they do? And they were really hoping to, you know, lower an area of the basement floor just to make that area more comfortable, you know, for people when they're inside that little kind of area of the basement. And, you know, so I'm kind of trying to explain, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with some retaining walls and how you step them back and how much space you need. And when you have a footing, you know, you got to think about coming off the bottom of that footing that's holding something off up at a 45 degree angle. So you can't necessarily dig right next to your supports, your footings, things like that. Or if you do, then you have to like engineer something that's going to hold that footing, going to make sure. So when you're pouring a concrete curb to kind of raise up to where the existing floor level is, if you're right next to a footing, it might need to be really thick. It might need to have some rebar and stuff in it that goes down into the other portion of the floor. You know, it would definitely need to be engineered in a way to show that, you know, it's going to not let that existing footing fail. And of course, in this area where we were looking, you know, it was right next to the basement stairs. So there was a couple of posts and footings going down into the basement floor next to the stairs. And then in the center of the basement, you had your post and your footings from the actual center, you know, beam of the house right there. So there was actually only, you know, about probably 9 feet between these posts. And, you know, as your footings come in that are supporting that, you know, those are going to come in a couple, you know, maybe 1 to 2 feet, you know, wide. So now you're looking at footing to footing, maybe 7 feet wide. And I'm like, if I'm trying to stay away from that footing, there might really only be a 4 or 5 foot wide kind of like hallway area that we're literally lowering in this floor, you know, or you're changing the center beam of the house and you're eliminating, you know, one of those footings, the need for it in order to do it and getting a bigger beam or something like that. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to engineer, design, look, and figure out how to do something like that. But, you know, getting to some of those answers as soon as possible to understand, you know, will I ever go there is something we're definitely trying to do right up front. You know, always talking about the investments and the different things so that we're not, you know, just designing a bunch of stuff that doesn't get built. You know, you're just designing away all these projects and going, yep, that would be awesome. And then you go to figure out how much it costs and you're like, wow, I was never actually willing to pay that. So, you know, learning this stuff in stepped processes, paying a little less for these steps each step of the way to get where you need to go, you know, can really determine some really, really great answers, you know. So kind of the same as that, you know, ductwork question with, you know, some are more expensive, some are less expensive. I don't really know who to go with. Well, really think about the interview process, open-ended questions, finding out what they know and understand, and just really, you know, how do you help me get through this? What are you doing the whole way? Can you show me some photos? Can you do, you know, and really just getting, you know, comfort. You don't have to understand how to build a house to pick someone that you feel good about, that you can kind of tell, you know, you got that feeling in your gut that, yeah, they really sound like they've done this. They've talked about some of these details. They've talked about how things get done. They've brought other people. They look at it as a team, not just one person, you know, that sort of thing just creates, you know, better things for you in how to get through it and everything. And, you know, so same day as I'm looking at that basement floor, you know, unfortunately I go to another house in St. Charles and, you know, they have a ceiling that's sagging in their kitchen. Well, there's actually a giant beam and they had a wall removed in their kitchen, and it was a short little 2-foot wall just kind of underneath the soffit. And the people just looked at it, told them, that's not weight bearing. Well, it was literally weight bearing, and the two beams that came together sat on top of that wall. So now the two beams are sinking down, separating, and there's a second floor above this thing is holding up. I mean, talk about weight bearing. And unfortunately, I'm like, yeah, they should have never taken that wall out. And now the kitchen's over in that space. So we got to kind of look at and do some engineering to figure out, you know, I think the only thing that's going to be able to hold this up is a giant steel I-beam, you know, to go the distance. So basically I had, you know, it had two headers that sat on top of a wall separately. Each one's about a little bit more than 9 foot. Well, now I'm trying to span an 18-foot plus opening all the way across with one beam. We're probably going to need, you know, a steel I-beam. So imagine this new kitchen, tile floor, all these things going on. I got to put in temporary walls on top of this tile floor to hold up the second floor while all this stuff gets ripped out. We're looking at it thinking, okay, well, so this I-beam, yeah, we'll probably have to like put some stuff on top of, you know, the countertops and protect that stuff and get that I-beam into position first, even build like a couple of short walls to set this I-beam on the other side so that we can have it in position, because I don't know how else we're going to get it in there. And this I-beam is going to weigh like over 600 pounds. So it's not light. So do you want to, you know, looking at these projects very thoroughly up front and finding out better things from a team, do you want to find out after you remodel your kitchen that you need this, or do you want to find out before you remodel your kitchen that you need this? And then maybe you decide to keep the wall, or maybe, you know, it gives you the opportunity to say, no, let's put the beam in. I love that. Let's go ahead and do that. That's the way I want my house. Or, wow, that's just out of my league. Let's just leave the wall and find a way to make this kitchen work better for me, you know, like it is, and we'll make it new again. And, you know, I'm just hoping that we can get through all this without like cracking tile floor and all these other things going on. But hey, we're going to get into our break here. We got Cardinals baseball coming up. We will be coming into the next hour at 12 o'clock in 97.1 FM. So if you want to join me, come over there. We'll take your calls. Same number, 314-436-7900. So for KMOX, have fun with your baseball, and I'll talk to everybody after the break on 97.1.